You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're tuned into BFM. It's Friday. What a wonderful day. It's looking pretty good out there. We've been joined by the guys from Brothers Bear in the studio. We've got Benji and we've also got Matt.
And there's beers.
Yes, funnily enough.
Yes.
How's it going, chaps?
Oh, good, thanks.
Been flat out brewing new beers, it seems.
Yeah, we've got three new ones in today that we're launching tomorrow out at Piha.
Cool. So this is like, oh my god, it's summer, yes, let's make some inspired beers.
Yeah, so it's the new beer brand, Piha Beer. We're going to be doing some brews out at Piha, doing some relaxing out at Piha, some drinking out at Piha.
Nice.
It's just an excuse to go to Piha, really.
Is that like, when you try to make a beer that's Piha inspired, what do you end up doing? I don't understand.
Watch heaps of Piha Rescue.
We're hoping to sponsor Piha Rescue.
Oh, nice. Maybe just get a tap down there in the for the after hours vibes.
I believe we're on at the Piha Bowling Club.
Oh, wow. Cool.
You've got there's a launch tomorrow, actually, in fact. Is that right? Is that open to the public, or is that just sort of a private kind of a thing?
Yeah, it's open to the public. Anyone can rock up throughout the day. So it's going, but we've also got a bus going on. We've got tickets on our website.
Nice.
So it's a $25 return trip on the bus out from Brothers Beer in the city to Piha, and then back. So if anyone wants to come along and join us, they can jump on the bus and feel free to drink and not have to worry about driving back.
What time?
The bus is at 12:30 and then coming back at 9. But we'll be there all day as well, so if anyone just wants to drive out for a couple of hours, that's all good too.
And what am I drinking right now? It's really gnarly.
We thought we'd start with the weirder one, and then we'll go back into normal territory for the next. So the first one is a sea salt and lime gosa. Gosa it's pretty old style. Typically it's a bit tart, which, you know, don't know if you... Yeah, I was going to say, like, To sort of get this one, it's meant to be very refreshing. It's not something people would drink. I don't know.
You wouldn't have like more than three or something like that.
I wouldn't, but I'd probably have one pretty early
into
a drinking session.
Yeah.
Tell me more about a gosa, did you say?
Gosa, yeah. Gosa? Or, I mean, some will say ghost, some will say gosa. As long as you don't mix it up with the similar Belgian sounding word gerza, which is a different type of sour, you're in the clear. It originated in Germany, I believe from the town of Gosa, and then the city of Leipzig, or however you meant to say that one, picked it up and ran with it. But yeah, so it's a slightly tart, slightly salty wheat beer.
I like it. I had like one sip and I was like, what's going on? And then now my mouth is like, I understand.
That's often the best way to address sours, is to sort of get right back into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the first sip tends to throw you a bit.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not expecting it. When we're pouring beers and someone tries something like, what the hell's this? This isn't a beer.
Yeah,
it's well, it is.
Especially because wheat beer is a bit of a contention for a lot of people. I love wheat beer. Like, I think it's really, really nice. But
this one, it doesn't use a typical wheat beer yeast that a lot of people would sort of be familiar with. You know, a lot of wheat beers have the whole sort of banana or sort of clovey thing going on. That's typically from the yeast strains, whereas this one uses a bit of a cleaner yeast. So yeah, I mean, like you say, some people are really into the whole banana thing, but this doesn't have so much of it. It's just a bit more cleaner and a bit more approachable, and a bit more easy going.
It's good. It's good.
Both of us are actually huge wheat beer fans, so I'm like,
maybe we'll do the banana edition.
I like how it's nice and light. It's just like, yo.
Yeah, I mean, it's meant to... A word I get criticized for using too often would be smashable. all these are meant to be pretty smashable beers.
Sweet.
Well, when you asked about what makes a Piha beer, smashable was the word I was going to go for as well, so...
Yeah, if we're being a bit more responsible, we should probably say sessionable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you've got a bus going out there, you know?
Yeah.
Johnson.
You sound refreshed.
Yeah.
So what's the next one on offer?
We'll go on to the Piha Lager, which I believe will be branded as Locals Lager when it's in cans.
Now, we went up to... what's the name of the bar? The Backbeat Bar? Is it Backbeat?
Yes, Backbeat Bar up there on Queen Street.
And did you guys launch this one at the Backbeat Bar a few weeks ago?
The one we launched at Backbeat was the Brothers Mexican, which is our Mexican style lager, which I've been describing as Corona but good. this one is another new one, so it's the Piha Beer Locals Lager. So it's a kind of light, hoppy, crisp lager. Again, watchword for all the Piha stuff is smashable. So yeah, a little hoppier than a lot of your standard lagers, but still kind of nice and light and clean and with the kind of flavors you'd be used to.
Super clear as well. Both of these, worth noting that both of these have been like very clear beers, if that's the right thing to say. This one being a bit more golden.
Probably not, John. Probably not. I tell you what, it's a great way to start the show.
Right into it.
Making all the right sound effects.
So, I'm familiar with Brothers Beer and the City Works Depot, but I've never been along, because the Duke Joint is association part of Brothers Beer, right?
You did a big...
I was going to say associated.
That was Porky Pig as. Yeah, it was perfect. Like,
Yeah, so Duke Joint's been running for about a year now, and it's... While Brothers Beer is more of a craft beer destination with all the craft beer bottles and off-license. Duke Joint is more of a restaurant. We've got the brewery attached there as well, so when you go in, you'll see all the big tanks. We've got the Brothers Beers on tap, and then we've got like a southern-style barbecue. So we've got ribs, brisket, pulled pork, all that good stuff.
Is it kind of like the mothership now, would you say? Like the
It's actually our the brewery team's nickname for it. We were calling it the mothership before it even opened.
Rad.
It's also the name of our Wi-Fi.
A classic. And that's quite a good setup for people, you know, with kids and stuff like that to go and hang out, right? Am I right? From what I've heard?
Yeah, for sure. On the weekends, especially, it's always... What's the phrase? It's a licensed crash.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have heard it described as a daycare centre.
I went out to Hallertau a few weekends ago, and I was firstly amazed at the setup out there, but there was just hordes of families out there. They obviously take the kids out there for a burn on the playground. You know, like, mum and dad will sit down and have something to eat and drink, and the kids just go wild.
Cute.
Yes.
So when you make a certain beer, like I'm trying to figure out the nuts and bolts of it. There's obviously like a formula to follow. If you're like making like a Piha beer, you just imagine like almost kind of like this buzz, like a summery sort of vibe. Or what angle have you gone on the Piha beer?
In terms of the recipe formulation?
Yeah, or just what, like the finished product, is it like
as far as the process goes, it's relatively similar for whatever style. It's more the recipes which will change all that. So as Matt kind of alluded to... he mentioned the hops that are smashable thing. Right. If you're looking to keep it sessionable, one thing that you want to make sure that you don't do is overdo the bitterness.
Right.
Certain styles, that's necessary. It's certainly enjoyable. But if something's going to be designed to for people to be able to have a few of them, it can't be something that's going to sort of build up and become sort of clawing by the end of it. That's one thing. At the same same time, the body of it as well. The sweetness. So it's I think the balance sort of becomes quite important if people are going to be having several of them.
How easy is it to get it wrong? Do you like do like a massive batch and you're like, oh man, we've ruined this whole thing?
And
then you just have it like in the staff keg for like ages, and people just have this horrible beer. And you're like, just drink it, you fools. You know.
I think most brewers are pretty hard on themselves, and even if they do a batch that most people are like good job and everything, they'll probably still want to tweak it.
Yeah, you want to always keep aiming.
Personally, I like to sort of always keep tweaking things, and I expect all of these will everyone sort of adjust recipes as they go. It's just the tweaks become sort of more fine, I guess.
Is it also the tweaks become subject to what's available in like ingredients realm? Do you ever like run out of ingredient and go, oh crap, we've got to like source something from some weird place?
I was about to mention, like, because all of our beers, at least at this point, they're done with New Zealand malt and New Zealand hops, there's great great malt from around the world, and there's excellent hops coming out of the States. But if you do base a recipe on something like that, like an American variety that you can only get at certain points of the year, then you kind of come unstuck when you can't brew that beer again.
Yeah.
And everyone expects it to taste like that.
Yeah,
if you make a massive substitution, it might work, but some people might be quite disappointed. So with the whole NZ hop thing, it obviously fits well with what we're doing with Piha and it being very sort of local. So some kind of branding wise, it fits too. But it's certainly more reliable to base your recipes around ingredients you can get year round. Sure. And then if there are some cool hops from the States or anything like that, you can look at using those for seasonals where just bring them out and it's a limited run kind of thing.
Where are you sort of pulling all your inspiration for the recipes that you're making? Like, is there sort of other stuff on the market that you're like, wow, or classic beers that you enjoy drinking, you know, which, you know, you enjoy, you know, you're like, wow, that's amazing.
Have you tried to figure out the 11 herbs and spices in Rhinic? That's what.
Which I was gonna. I have a little rumor about Rhinic, but I don't know if it's suitable for the air.
Of course it is. It's Friday.
In terms of inspiration, I mean, and like I said right off the bat, it was, you know, essentially our bosses, Ant Brown and Andy Larson, have sort of been the creative minds of it all. But in some cases, there may have been some beers that. That they were sort of particularly inspired by. I know sort of back in the early days when we were starting to form all these, there was a beer by Fork and Brewer down in Wellington called Golden Mile, which was a dry hopped lager, which at least got me playing around with a similar style. That's, you know, what we've ended up with is quite different.
Did you start out brewing at home before you got into...
Yeah, sort of. I'd done very little, and then I was lucky enough to have a job at Hallertau fall into my lap quite early on. So I'd actually done sort of more, you know, more commercial brewing than home brewing really for a while. Like I then got into it quite heavily and brewed a pretty ludicrous amount. But yeah. But yeah, I guess the good thing about that is it can expose you to a lot of ingredients and techniques and things that you don't get the chance to play around with on a commercial scale.
Yeah that's cool. So what's this one we've got in the glass now? I see it had a nice head on it to kick off. It was quite inviting.
So this one here is the Piha, again, Party Wave IPA.
This is the
IPA.
It's lovely.
Yeah, so and nice and light with a good fruity character to it. It's kind of not too heavy. We wanted to keep it like a lot of IPAs that are coming out now are really kind of really bitter, really floral, and kind of like Benji was saying earlier, like the bitterness builds up and it's hard to have a few. So we wanted to keep the alcohol a little lower than you get from a lot of IPAs, which are coming out at about 7% now. So it's 5.8.
Yeah, that's
good. A bit more reasonable.
That's good.
And just again, light and easy to drink with kind of good fruity character, a little bit of bitterness, but doesn't kind of weigh it down.
Nice.
Sweet. It's delish. It's actually been a nice step, you know, so how we step through the beers. Nicely
that's
played.
That's what we do.
This one feels the most finished, if I could say, if that makes sense. But
like the most
in terms of, you think it would need the least tweaking, or it's the most well-rounded?
No, just the least tweaking, I think.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you.
Yeah, it was.
Well, good, because that could have been really embarrassing.
These guys have only been ready for the first time today, so you are the first people to be trying.
Actually, I was going to mention that I haven't actually tried these until today.
Yeah.
I was actually overseas while these were all made, so I didn't really have a hand in them. Right. I'm on this journey with you as well.
How do you score them?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
Is anyone
because
getting
you're
the
essentially
sack,
asking really? Me to rate my co-worker.
Yes, do it.
I mean, I agree. The IPA is my favourite of them, but I mean that's not too hard considering that IPA is probably my favourite style. I mean,
sure.
I mean, it's kind of a cliche in craft beer now that everyone drinks IPAs.
It's nice and smooth, man. It's like really nice and smooth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a time and a place for like the bigger IPAs that Matt mentioned, but this sort of wasn't going for that. It is meant to be a sort of smoother, easier going one.
Kind of a random question, might be a bit stupid, but is there an ideal temperature to serve a beer of this nature, or like can it be too cold, kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, you certainly can.
Like in the chili bin with the ice around it, probably not ideal kind of thing.
If you're drinking a beer like this at I don't know sort of 1 or 2 degrees, it will numb your tongue a bit. You're not actually going to pick up as much flavour.
Yeah.
That's you can typically get away with drinking sort of styles like lagers colder.
Yeah.
Something like this, I'd be serving it between sort of 4 to 6, just slightly warmer than that. Cool. Yeah. At the same time, if it warms up, it's going to start getting unpleasant as well. Like it tends to be.
Is that the sign of a good beer if it's like a little warm and you can still drink it, or is it just the depend on the beer?
It's pretty style dependent. Like yeah. I was more malt-driven styles lend themselves quite well to warmer temperatures. That's why, you know, everyone knocks the English for drinking, you know, warm beer, and it's because a lot of their styles are very malt-driven. Whereas, yeah, that, I mean, not even the English drink their lagers warm. So.
Cool. Sweet.
Well, not on purpose, at least.
So, just run us through it once more. If people want to come out and check out the beers, tomorrow at the Piha Bowling Club?
Yeah, so we'll be at Piha Bowling Club basically all afternoon into the early evening. There's still tickets available if you want to buy them on the website, brothersbeer.co.nz, and you can just find those on the shop or events section as Piha Beer Launch, and that's $25. We've got merch packs as well, so singlets, sunscreen, and stubby holders.
Yeah.
If you want to grab some of that.
Yes, bring back the little airskis, the little.
Yeah, that's what we got.
Good call. Good call.
And people can get the bus from Brothers Beer and City Works Depot.
Yeah, that's right. Just need a ticket for that one, and otherwise, it's free to turn up at Piha, at the bowling club.
Cool.
Are people going to be playing bowling?
Yeah, there's lawn bowls, there's live music, there's food.
Excellent.
Stuff.
Lawn bowls is the best for having a cup away. It just lends itself so great. You only need one hand. There's no running. It's great.
You're low to the ground.
You think you're awesome at a sport that's pretty easy anyway. Hey, thanks so much, Brothers Beer, for coming in. You're doing great work. Carry on.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome, guys.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.